It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, we back. Ali is away. He will be back soon. But in the meantime, in between time, wait a minute. Hold on. Who is this on the mic?
It's Ali.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. This is Ali Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
Oh, shit. People thought I was bullshitting. Ali Muhammad is on the mic. Ali, how you been, man? What's good? How you been?
I've been good, man.
That's what's up. It's good to hear from you. It's good for the people to hear you. What's the latest? Talk to me, man. What's
up? It's in the greatest. It's all about the therapies.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going cool.
Yeah.
We can't money.
It's good to hear your voice, the voice of your choice.
Right.
Yeah. That's what's up. You want to talk to the people, tell the people anything? You know, they definitely been, you know, inquiring and hitting me up. You know, they've been wanting to hear from you. So I'm going to give you a minute to speak to them people.
People, I'm back.
I'm definitely going to give y'all some good stuff.
All right then. That's what it is. And it's young Muhammad on the mic. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He back in action, cracking the mic, talking to the people.
Back cracking the mic.
There it is. That's what's up. So look forward to that. Muhammad is, you know what I mean? I told you, sooner than later, this man is, you know what I mean? He ready. Would you look at that? Look at that. You never know. Y'all didn't see that coming. Y'all did not see that coming. A moment with Muhammad. I told you Muhammad be back soon. He on the way. You know what I mean? Just came through, said what up. Speak to the people. You know, the voice of your choice. The voice of your choice on the mic. That was for y'all. Let me know what you think. Jump in the comments. You know, show love, man. You know what I mean? It's been a minute. And it was a moment. And we'll have more. Muhammad coming back. I told you. I ain't out here lying to you. I'm not out here. There's enough people out here lying to you. I'm not going to do that, nah. Not when it comes to the pod. Not when it comes to the conversationalists. You know what I'm saying? You know? Sheesh. The voice of your choice. Yeah, anyway, so it's just me now. We back. It's just us. It's just us for right now. Muhammad will be back soon, as I say. Anyway, it's hot. It's hot than a motherfucker here. It's hot. When I do this shit, I got to turn off the AC, so I typically keep a mug or a mason jar, you know, a good mason jar, some cold water. I ain't even got that. So we're going to see how long this lasts. But we got a heat wave coming, always and forever. We got a heat wave coming, and I am a little sick because my motherfucking AC is on the fritz. On the fritz, the cat. I got one of them little Midea U-shaped joints that fucking the streets and Wire Cutter and everybody was raving about, even in the midst of a recall. Nah, this is it. This is the best AC you could get. It is super quiet. Because you know my last AC, it was loud. It was loud like outside of MSG when the Knicks was in the finals. You know what I'm saying? Sound like the A-Train. All of that. It was disgusting. But it was cold. It was cold. It did what it needed to do. But then I got one of these little U-mount that look fly. I seen it. They look fly, you know. Like I said, heralded by the people, you know. So I went and got it. last season, and it was quiet. It was nice. It was quiet. It was so quiet, I had to see if it was still on. Yeah, it was on. And it got the thing to where I could turn it on from outside. Like, I'm in the street. I'm like, yo, I'm about to go home. Let me make sure I'm crisp for when I walk in. And it was nice. It was responsive. It was a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Come to find out, I come back this season. That shit, I don't know what's going on. That shit got emphysema. I don't know what is going on. That shit is not blowing cold air. It's stopping. It's starting. It sounds like there's a kickball game inside the damn unit. All types of shit. It sounds like it's going to explode quite a few times, you know, and it's right next to me. And I'm just like, I hope I don't go out like that, especially in the summer. I hope I don't just have an air conditioner just explode. Boom. And that's how I go out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that. But it's so I'm back and forth with them people at Mydea. I've been calling them Madea, like Tyler Perry, but the Mydea people. And they're in the midst. It's been a long midst, but they're in the midst of you know, making things right. So fortunately, these last couple of weeks has been kind of cool. It's been kind of cool, but now it's getting hot. Shout out to the Europeans. I seen it was on fire over there. People dying. You know, rest in peace to the people dying of, sheesh, the heat. You know, because it's, you know, it's old buildings over there. And I guess global warming is really showing its ass. Global warming is showing how real it is, you know. Again, shout out to Al Gore. You know, anytime it get too hot, you're like, sheesh. But, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. You know, trying not to sweat. Right now, I'm cool. Right now, I'm cool. I got to, you know. But it's about to get damn near into the hundreds this week. So we will see. We will see. I still got the AC in the living room. I might have to do that. I might have to camp out in the living room. Anyway, that's a little bit behind the curtain. News came out today that LeBron is not returning to the Lakers. He said, yo, go on without me. I'm coming back, but not with y'all. Y'all do what y'all need to do. I'm going to figure out what I need to figure out. I got to get some things sorted, get myself together. The rumor is he's looking like he's going to go to Golden State. You know, I think a lot of people, besides the Golden State, because that Golden State rumor is getting louder and louder and louder, and maybe by the time this hits, they might be official. But, you know, the romantic legacy play a lot of people felt was like, yo, run back to Cleveland. You know, because Cleveland got a nice little squad. See if you could keep it, be competitive. Maybe you could catch another chip on the way out, you know. But there's also the question of, is it over? You know, like he wasn't looking like LeBron. He wasn't a full bum. Now, LeBron ain't no bum, but it's looking like, you know, I was talking to my sports analyst homies. You know, because I'm a casual, but I do have a group chat with some real deal sports analysts. You know, the conversation kind of came up like, yo, is it over? Is it just time to pass the torch? You know, because this new league, this new NBA, this new generation, they ready. They running and gunning. And a lot of them don't really have a whole lot of deference for these old heads, particularly LeBron. You know what I'm saying? They're like, all right, Pop. Pack it up. Go get your things. Good looking out. Go, we got it from here. Appreciate you. You did your thing. You know what I mean? Let's do one of them convoluted handshakes. And, yeah, take your bag and tap. Take your, yeah, go ahead. You stay cool. Take it easy. And maybe I'm biased, but off the strength, I feel like specifically LeBron, Steph Curry, and KD deserve a nice farewell tour. Those three particularly, just based on their impact in the game. And it would be beautiful if, you know, it could be a competitive season where they don't go out looking, you know, rusty and a step behind. But, you know, that Father Time, boy, he's undefeated. He's known to throw your shit. Smack your shit into the bleachers. Get that shit out of here. Ideally, that would be cool. What do y'all think about LeBron going to Golden State? Does that even make Golden State competitive in that West? Because that West is deep. You know, it's a lot of youth, a lot of youth and momentum. you know, Steph and LeBron, they you know, they legacy, they generational talents for sure. But is it over? Let me know. 4th of July coming up this weekend. Saturday, I want to say, the 4th of July, 250 years. 250 years of America. And while that should, it should be something, it should, I mean, it is something, but it should feel like something, it don't really feel like nothing. It feel like America as a country put out a single and it's not really charting. I'm saying it's not really buzzing. Nobody playing it. People heard about it, but it ain't on the radio. Nobody talking about it. Nobody doing the reels. Like, it just feels like this 250 years, it feels like the excitement would have been way more palpable had we had a way, way, way less divisive leader. 250 years and America still kind of on some bullshit. You know, that's the reality of the situation. It's just like, damn, it's hard, man. You know, like, it's hard to keep faith in this country, you know, especially when you got a leader that is literally out for self. And he'll make no qualms about it. He is out for sale. He is doing him. He is padding his pockets, getting it at the cost of everybody else. And it's like, damn, you know, you feel it. You could feel like it bleeds into the people. You could feel it like this. I think there's like this, it almost feels like with everybody, like there's so many people, it's real have and have not struggle, get yours by any means, right? And it's like this, like, brutal capitalism right now. And I think a lot of people feel like they could capitalize or capitalism their way up out of this shit, you know? Like, it's not the answer, but it just feels like, let me just gross my way out of this bullshit. If I stack this bread, maybe they'll look at me differently, you know? Maybe I have a better shot against the injustice, you know, especially us, you know? But yeah, it's you know, happy, I guess, happy 4th. Happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day. You know, we had Juneteenth. Juneteenth was cool, you know. 4th of July, just Saturday, to be totally honest with you. And it's going to be hot than a motherfucker do, which is like, kind of like, you know. I'll do something, but I don't know if I'm celebrating America. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, shit, we here, though. We are here. It's a weird relationship. Anyway, I was reading the Kim book. I read Kim, the artist. I just read his autobiography recently, and it was good. He did it with David Ritz, who's always good. Good collaborator with musicians. He did the Marvin Gaye book, Divided Soul, which is like classic. If you fuck with Marvin Gaye, or even if you don't, Divided Soul is such an ill book. It's a good one. I haven't read it in many years, but that shit was like one of them. That shit made me say, yo, who wrote this? Who co-wrote this? David Ritz? Like, I looked at him as like a producer. You know how you hear a beat? You're like, yo, whoa, let me look at the credits. It was one of those, like, they really did, and that was a hell of a story. And this Kim book was really good, too. And the funny thing is, typically, when I read any type of memoir about a musician or an actor or a director or any creative, I often, as I'm reading it, when they start talking about what they were thinking when they created this and they reference certain shit, I'll go check it out. And the funny thing was, I didn't do that with this Kim book. Like, I was familiar with Ken when he first came out. I actually used to date a girl that was a huge Ken fan. Huge Ken fan. She was bad, too. She was a huge Ken fan. And that kind of, like, you know, made me say, let me see what's going on here. But it was always kind of adult contemporary, a little too adult contemporary for me. So I was kind of like, you know, it's cool. I get it. I respect it. But it's not my thing. So I'm reading the shit, and for whatever reason, like, he'll reference other people that may have inspired him and whatever, and I'll go listen to some of that stuff, but I don't know if it was, like, something that I became aware about in the middle of the book, but I was like, you know, I ain't really listening to no Chem records. And then I was like, you know, I'm not going to listen to no Chem records. Maybe I'll listen to it after the fact. But let me just read the story. And the story is really good. It definitely focuses a lot on, like, his pre-music career. Like, just the trials and tribulations that he had gone through. If you're a Chem fan, you probably know about it, but you know, addiction and, you know what I'm saying? Like, having issues committing to women and interracial dating and all of that type of stuff. It was pretty really interesting. And it obviously he talks about the music, and I'll be honest with you, I have not played not one Chem record. I will. I ain't got nothing against the cat, but I don't know. He's just not my type of hype, you know, but the book was good. You know what I mean? The book was good. I don't even know why I even mentioned. I'm fucking with the, it's almost kind of like, you know, it reminds me of how I watch an interview with a, you know, current day artist who I might not really ever have heard their music, but their interview was so interesting that they got a cool personality or whatever, whatever. And I become a fan somewhat, you know what I'm saying? Or at least I'm aware of them. I'm like, oh, that's such and such. That cat, you know, he got cool shit. He got, you know, she got, you know, she has a funny point of view. But still, I might not ever really listen to the music. You know, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm just talking. But it's a conversation. Well, one-way conversation. Let me know if you are rock with Cam, and if you do, what's the record to go to? If you had to put together a Chem playlist for me, give me three joints. DM me, hit it in the comments, something, man. Let me know if you're a Chem fan. Let me know what it is. BET Awards, I did not see them. I did not see them. I was trying to. I actually ran home, well, drove home to be in time to catch it. I was under the impression, actually, I had a feeling that I wasn't going to be able to watch it live, but then I Googled, cause I got Paramount Plus, but I was like, it's probably Paramount Plus premium to be able to watch it live. And sure enough, I get back to the crib and I'm searching. They act like they ain't even know what I was talking about. That shit was not coming up. Every other awards was coming up, but the BET Awards. So I missed out on it. I haven't watched it. I'm sure it's probably up on the service now as of this recording. I have not seen it. The only thing I saw was the little clip with Kiki, you know, I'm taking the mic from Drewski, talking about, young nigga, who, why they got you hosting? How come I ain't hosting? You know what I'm saying? And that was cool. It was a funny moment. I felt bad for Drewski because I was just like, damn, why would they write some shit like that? I mean, I get it. It's a bit, but damn. They got him on some Rodney Dangerfield shit. You know, it's interesting. And quietly, I don't know if BET really got, I mean, who knows? Maybe for the culture, it's the culture's biggest night, right? Maybe for the culture, Kiki might take, she might work with them. But I don't know if BET really got Kiki's quote. Who knows? I don't know Kiki's quote. But the way the crowd was like, yeah, fuck him. I was like, ah, I know that nigga Drewski by the, shit, he might have been laying on his back for a couple hours before he went to sleep. Just looking at the ceiling. I tried my best. Anyway, did y'all watch it? If you did, was it worth it? Was it good? Yeah, enjoy it. You know, all of that shit. Not really. I be throwing this to y'all because, look, it's just us till Muhammad is all the way back. You know what I mean? So it's us chopping it up. So the more, like, jump in them comments, man. I'll be saying it, but I'm gonna try to make that IG a little bit more robust so we got some shit to talk about, like build a conversation. But yeah, let me know what y'all thought about that. The Shy, you know, I don't really recap too much of that here because I'm probably always at least an episode behind. But from what I most recently saw, yo, Tiff is having a hell of a season. Tiff is having a hell of a season. She's shining on that shit. She is shining. So, yeah, man. Shout out to everybody watching The Shy. It's cool. I'm still, you know, I'm locked in. I have not watched House of the Dragons. You know what I'm saying? That's typically some shit me and Muhammad would chop up. He's more of the Game of Thrones cat. I came to it later. And I don't really be I don't remember everybody's name and recognizing this person is that person and they related to this person and that's what happened last time, dog. I'd be missing out. I tried to watch the most recent episode and I just shut it off. I was getting tired and it wasn't because of the episode. It's just that shit, like I said, is very dense. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of, yo, do you not remember this happened with this and this person was there? And I was just like, I ain't had the bandwidth for that shit. I sound like a real corporate cop out. I don't have the bandwidth. But anyway, yeah, I turn that shit off. I'll get to it when I get to it, but it's not no super priority if I'm going to be honest with you. Same with The Bear. I seen about one episode. I've been saying The Bear's been falling off since the first season. You know, it's fine, but I think every season after the first season has been less good than the season prior. So my expectations for this season is not the highest, you know. But shout out to Lionel and Io, you know what I mean, and everybody else. You know, I fuck with the cast, but it just kind of, I don't know. That's that. But I tell you what I do fuck with before I get up out of here, because it is starting to get warm. Before I get up out of here, man, that Raising Kanan, latest episode of Raising Kanan, season 5, episode 3, Tricks. That's, you know, that alludes to quite a few things and shit, direct things. You know, it opens up, there's a hostile takeover of Unique's old corners. Breeze and Kanan pull up on Unique's, you know, corner, abandoned corner. Really, I mean, Unique soldiers are still out there. You know, you see your man Nigel Sylvester is amongst the soldiers. You know what I'm saying? Getting this brick by brick on, you know. He's out there, and Breeze is pulling up just to let them know. Breeze and Kanan are pulling up to let them know, listen, this corner's under new management. I don't know. I regret to inform you. You know, we're not going to terminate you, but like I said, it's new management. Now, if you want to work for us, we might have a job for you. But I hate that, you know, your previous employer didn't let you know that they went AWOL. So there's a lot of discrepancy. A lot of people are like, well, I wasn't informed. You know what I'm saying? I had no clue. Unique did not speak to me about this. I haven't checked my email, but. You know, and this is pre-email. I ain't get no beep. You know what I'm saying? Nobody page me, nothing. I ain't get a kite. I guess you'd have to be in jail to get the kite. But nobody hit me to the fact that shit is changing hands. So listen, Pop, I don't know what you're talking about. And if it is going to change hands, it's going to be me. That's what one of the soldiers, one of the cats on the corner was like, well, hold on. I was second in command anyway. So unfamiliar gentleman, I don't know. And I do not take your offer. This is my corner now. Breeze is like, oh, word, that's what's up. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Turned his back on him. That's what's up. Word. He turned around. I bet. Wow. Shot him twice in the head. Put him down. Nigel and the rest of the squad, they scurry off. They get ghosts. You know what I'm saying? They jet. Nigel had no bikes. He had to do this shit all on feet with the 8-ball jacket on. And Kanan shooting up the block. Missing. I don't think nobody got hit besides my man that got shot point blank range in the head. And it just looked like that was by Breeze. Looked like Breeze just something that is exhilarating about death with Breeze. Again, I still feel like it's the Breeze character is coming together. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm getting more and more comfortable with Breeze as a new character. And Shamik is, you know, he's taking on the character at this point. He's starting to gel with the cast. So that's what we see. That's how we open up. They pulling up on in the Porsche, you know, take over the block, and then they smooth off, you know. Go to the next scene. We got Rock, Marvin, and Flossie. Again, back to, you know, the corporatization of it all. They're onboarding the escorts, Flossie's escorts, who used to just turn tricks. Now they're going to do a little bit of courier. You know, we're going to help you. We need you to move some product. You know, you might not have to do anything sexual, but, you know, you will be called on. It's going to be under the guise of, you know, just a woman of the night. But you just, you got something different. You know what I mean? Instead of that, that instead of the pee, you got the other pee, that powder. You know what I'm saying? So, boom. So, they're talking to the Rasta, and they you know, they're doing the whole, you know, the whole, we've looked for a select group of girls. You know, you want to make your workers feel important. So, they're just telling everybody, they just show the moment of them up in Cafe Vu, having a formal sit down with the escorts, letting them know this is something that we want them to do. And if you can opt out of it, but if so, we need you to be discreet about it. Or as Marvin says, that mouth better not open unless you're putting a dick in it, which is a little abrasive, you know, Flossie felt. Like, come on now, that's a lot. But anyway, I think the idea was conveyed. Anyway, so we seeing that the, you know, kind of the lineup of some of the women, and one of them is Tiana. And it felt like immediately, like, is this a Star Is Born? Like, the way that they focused on Tiana, the way that she had a little bit of, you know, she had some lines where she's like, listen, I'm just trying to make some money. If this works out, it is what it is. I'm with it, you know? But it was just like, okay, hold on now. Who's this? Who's this? Who's this woman? You know? So there's that. And we see Jukebox propositioning Detective Garcia. She pulls up to his house. You know, and he's thrown off. He's like, he's put off by that, especially the fact that she's doing like a curbside audit of this man's entire financial situation. She's like, ma'am, I seen how you're living. I seen how you're living, and what you making over there at the police station is, it's not enough. You know what I mean? Come work for me. He's like, yo, get the fuck out of here. He feels away. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking Mooley broad gonna come over here talking about, she gonna size me up. She gonna tell I'm the cop. I'm the one that does the shakedown. He getting, you know, now the power is shifted. And, you know, Jukebox is like, listen, you said everything but no. So when you ready to sit down, you ready to have a conversation, you know where to get me. See you later. You know what I mean? Continue to protect and serve. Damn, that shit. That nigga felt tight. I know he felt the way about that shit. She just looked at his whole shit. Grand total of, not too much. Crazy. Anyway. What else? We in a Cafe Vu again. Flossie and Marvin have a moment. Their sensibilities are colliding. Flossie is getting to know who Marvin is. Marvin is a little bit more abrasive than she's used to. You know, again, she's very much women first. So anytime she kind of got to deal with a man, it's a bit of an inconvenience, especially a cat that's just going to tell it, say it like it is, who's not really, you know, checking his ego, you know what I'm saying, or saying the polite, like picking the polite way, just speaking freely, you know, and to Flossie, she finds it fascinating, as she says. So she's like, yo, Marvin, why don't you meet me later on? Come over to my home, and I'd like to sit down, have a drink with you. Marvin's like, hold on now. You know, listen, I got to let you know, I don't pay for pussy, all right? Know this. She's like, listen, Bob, I'm not trying to proposition you. I just want us to sit down. You know, we get to know each other. We're going to be working together. And you have a different vibe about you, something that's very foreign to me. So I want to kind of know who I'm in business with. Come on through. He's like, all right, but I could do a drink. I'm going to say this episode and the season so far is very Marvin heavy. And I know I've been shouting out Patina Miller and Haley Kilgore, but London Brown is getting it in as Marvin. He's doing a lot of work. Particularly this season, where he's dealing with the grief of losing his brother, and also the rage of trying to find the person that he believes killed him. And then like the confusion of like, why am I the one that's this upset? Meanwhile, this was just as much her brother as it is my brother. And it was just as much his uncle as it was my brother. Like, I seen, like, nobody seems to be, like, pissed off enough. Like, what the fuck is going on here? There's a lot of, at least, particularly this season, there's at least two scenes every episode, two shots every episode of Marvin kind of looking confused. Kind of trying to figure this shit out. Like, and he's been doing that for a while, but it's definitely like, it's definitely like they sit, the camera's sitting there, he's just kind of like working this shit out in his head. But there's a lot that he's doing. He's going through a lot of emotions, and, you know, it's funny. There's a scene where he goes to see Flossie, and it's a weird thing because sometimes they kind of make it look like, you know, Marvin is like this brute that don't get out the hood. But if we look at the, you know, the story thus far, Marvin rubs shoulders with more white folks than anybody besides Rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, he be moving around. He's in various circles. He's inadvertently worldly. And sometimes I don't know if that shows up in some of the writing, you know, but what I do like is, as hard Rock as Marvin is, he still tries to at least grapple with and even articulate how he's feeling, you know, like with in depth, like, I feel this way, I feel, you know, and try to seek out people to talk to, whether it's the pastor. You know, we get this moment with him and Jukebox, which I always love when the two of them have a moment. I think particularly in this episode, I was spoiled because I always like to see Marvin and Jukebox have their moment, because it's just, they always have a great moment. It's always written well. And then Jukebox and Rock had their moment. I mean, it was a quick one, but it's just like, when you could see that, it's the chemistry. You know what I mean? It's just one of those moments where the talent is there. You just, this shit just is coming off the page. Like, you know, even if it's a little thing, Juke, you funny. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit, man. But anyway, I'm running ahead. We see that Pino and DeStefano met regarding Rock. And we see that Pino got no respect for DeStefano. You know what I'm saying? He see him as an out of borough cat. Like, come on, B. I'm in Manhattan. I'm getting to it. I'm like, really, I'm a tier higher than you. I'm S tier. You might be B tier. You know what I'm saying? You might be B tier, honestly. He said some shit. He was like, yo, this cat is like a third string catcher stepping into Yankee Stadium trying to tell Mickey Mantle how to hit a curveball. What are you talking about? Get the fuck out of here. There's a lot of that action. A lot of that action, and DeStefano is in his feelings, man. He feels like, for somebody that's trying to be neutral, he still want to run shit. It's like, pick a spot, man. Either you're going to be on the bench or you in the game, but, like, come on, you can't do both. And he feel the way his ego is inflamed. His ego is inflamed. Now his pancreas is healed. He's back. He feeling himself. He's doing shit like where he's trying to pick Kanan against Rock, and Kanan is seeing right through that. Like, come on, like, wait a minute. If this is a situation of about locale and you know, turf, and she ain't in Queens no more, she's in Manhattan, what's that got to do with you? You know what I'm saying? He's not, Kata's not a pawn. Is it as frustrating as the kid could be, and maybe even as stubborn and sometimes short-sighted, I don't think he's a pawn. He's not an idiot. And he definitely ain't a pawn for DeStefano. I think DeStefano is starting to realize that, you know. And he's also starting to realize, like, damn, you know, shit, I might not hold the weight that I thought I did. You know, later on he was like, you know, he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed because he feels like people are kind of, they kind of big dogging him. You know, they not bowing down or whatever. But it's just like, yo, people out here trying to make money, you know, and Rock tried to work with you, which you felt like she's a cancer. You know what I'm saying? He said, yo, you go to bed with who he said she was? You go into bed with Diane Carroll, wake up to Idi Amin or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, if you can't take the heat, get your ass out the kitchen. Get your ass out the kitchen, Linguini. Anyway, man. You know, I fuck with Tony Danza, but yeah, he hating. I'm looking at him crazy. I'm jumping all around here. But speaking of hate, speaking of looking at crazy, my man Taz, who formerly seemed to be second in command, is still salty. This is his second episode of salt. A lot of sodium on his face. This man looks upset because he feels as though, you know, Breeze is looking past him. Breeze is not giving him what he, you know, the position that he deserves. You know, he thought he was going to be the man. And now this young buck, this new cat comes in and then just straight leapfrogged him. You know, and so much so, like, the streets know. The streets know. The white cats that's, you know, buying pills off him, they even heard, like, yo, man, I heard Breeze is, I thought you got fired. That's the worst, man. People in the street, like, yo, I heard you got fired. What? First of all, they didn't even know work papers. What are you talking about? We just all off the books. Yo, man, the streets is telling me that, you know. You know what I'm saying? Breeze is messing with Kanan. I thought you was the man. Taz get tight. He throw my man a beating. He said, y'all white boys is going to respect the black man. You know what I mean? I wasn't mad at that. He pulled off, but he was sick. He was sick because it's real. He sees it. The writing is on the wall. Like Breeze said right in front of him. That's the thing. He still be in the room, but it's like he don't got no say. You know what I'm saying? It's like this. It's like being on a Zoom call and your mic is on mute and you can't unmute. And the meeting is going on. You want to interject, but nobody can hear you. They see you in the box, but they ain't even looking at the box. They might have their shit off gallery. They got it on speaker. Your audible shit ain't even working, so nobody even sees you. You there, but you not there. That's the worst. That's the worst feeling, to be there but not even recognize people. So, like, Taz is in the room when Breeze is like, yo, I'm about to give you all the Unique's corners. Get your squad. They yours. He like, yo, what about my couriers, my cats on a bike? He was like, yo, I get those to Breeze. I get those to Taz. Damn. Taz getting the leftovers. Taz getting, he just sick. Taz sick. And later on, Taz pull up on Kanan right after he had to fight with the white cats, after he had to fight the rumors in the streets, literally. He pull up on Kanan like, yo, you ain't gonna replace me. He's sick, mad, spazzing on Kanan. Kanan is egging him. Kanan ain't even giving him ain't even looking his way. He just counting money. Counting money is super egging him. He's like, yo, you better look at me. He's like, yo, you fucking up my count. Oh, Taz storm off sick. That shit's going to come to a head. It's going to come to a head. I don't know what episode it's going to come to his head. I don't know if Taz is going to switch sides or whatever, but that shit is boiling. This is boiling. It ain't boiled over yet. But, I mean, I feel as though Kanan's probably going to have to put a bullet in Taz or something's going to happen. We'll see. I would hope it has a little bit more depth to just him getting shot. You know what I mean? Maybe something more interesting happens, you know? So we'll see what happens anyway. There's a moment where we see Jukebox and Kanan meeting at the diner. This is where Kanan kind of tells Jukebox, yo, I actually don't think that Rock had Famous kill. You know, when I talked to the cops, they really had no clue. And they were like, what are you talking about? And Jukebox was like, you know, them cops be lying. He was like, nah, I don't know. I tend to believe them. And she was like, well, what you think? Well, how you feel about Rock? He was like, it don't change shit. You know, she's still on some bullshit. I still feel away. You know, he's stubborn. I still feel away. I'm still mad at him. You know. And Juke is like, it is what it is. Like, you know. But then in that conversation, Kanan says, yo, I'm sorry that I pulled out on you. I ain't mean to, you know what I'm saying? I ain't mean to pull a gun on you. I don't remember this. Remind me. I don't remember this. So many damn shows and so many scenes that we, you know, we talk about here, we watch and, you know, I don't remember this. I'm sure it happened, but Somebody bring me up to speed at that point. What happened and when? I'm like, that's crazy. I don't remember that. Marvin is still on a rampage on the hunt to find Unique. Unique is in the wind. Marvin seems to be the last to know. He running up in the barbershop, you know, upsetting the folks in the barbershop, putting out money. They talking about, yeah, man, you know, fucking Breeze is taking over Unique spot, and your nephew Kanan is working with Breeze. Marvin is like, first of all, who the fuck is Breeze? And secondly, Kanan has got Unique spots. What? So he's tight. He run up on, he goes to Kanan's apartment, presses Kanan, you know, and then Kanan real, you know what I'm saying? Kanan is real kind of like nonchalant, like real chill, real like unaffected by Marvin wilding, because obviously he knows that Unique did not kill Lou. Right, so he's bugging. He's like, "Yo, what's going on? Who's this kid, Breeze? What are you talking about? I heard you took Unique. What's, yo?" He's like, "Yo, I heard Unique gone." He's like, "Where the fuck you hear that at?" He's like, "Yo, that's what the people are saying." And then he says, "Yo, man," he says, "Yo, that was, you know," Marvin puts it together. "That was y'all at that shot up 150th or whatever." And he's like, "You know, I'm just trying to work, you know." And he says, "Listen, I got a spot for you if you want one, man." That shit sent Marvin through the roof. He was like, "Hold on, Bob. Maybe you done forgot the hierarchy. You will forever be my little nigga. You my little nephew. I will never work for you. You work for me." You know what I'm saying? What are you talking about? What was the line that he said? He said, "You will never be above me because you can't climb that high, nigga. Hell, you can't even see me." Yeah, this little shit. And then Kanan was like, "All right, man, take it easy. Stay up, gangster." Slams the door on him. Boom. One of them shots where Marvin is just befuddled. Marvin face just befuddled. Like, "Oh, what just happened?" It's a lot of "what just happened" with Marvin. Juke is back in the streets. Pulling up to the little lesbian dive bar. That be popping. It's always jam-packed with women. And Juke come in real smooth, pull up and pull off. Found her old thing, her old little fling. They go back to the crib. They do what they do. You know what I'm saying? They get it in. I don't know what she be doing, but you know, Shorty's always talk about with fellas is nonchalant. Jukebox is the most nonchalant chick in the game. She get the coochie to throw the Columbia back on and be in the wind. Hey, 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 hey. Ain't got to be nothing but a little something. Yeah, man, you stay cool, though. You good at what you do, so am I, but let's keep it at that. Yeah, man, I know I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Stay cool. And then she's off. She's in the wind. But, you know, I think Juke just had to maybe get a little bit of that Aisha miss. You know, she been missing Aisha. So maybe, you know what I'm saying, had to get her mind right. You know what I'm saying? So there that go. What else happened? I'm still trying to figure out Flossie. That moment where Marvin comes over to Flossie's house and they have, like, I guess, a sit down, and it feels kind of loaded, a little flirty, but then like, you know, Marvin restates again, "Listen, babe, I'm not trying to pay for no pussy." And Flossie was like, "Listen, you can't afford this pussy even on your best fucking day." You know what I'm saying? But then she gives him like a tender kiss on the cheek as he's leaving. They talking about grief. You know what I mean? Like, maybe, again, maybe she's just an empath, or maybe she just wants to kind of do some team building, whatever the fuck. I don't know, but it just seems a little odd. And I was trying to read it after she closed the door when Marvin left. Like, there's a little moment where her walking, her face just kind of, her default mode, like, just look real serious. So I don't know. It's something's there, I think. Something's there. Like, there's a lot of, like, new seeds in this season that we'll see how they harvest. Whether it's Taz, whether it's Pino, whether it's Flossie, you know what I mean? We see how Breeze is giving it up, but I'm just curious to see what all of these new characters, how they're going to develop. you know. Meanwhile, what else is going on? So that was interesting. Rock sent some shooters to do a strike on one of Breeze's corners. You see later on, Breeze is sick. She just say, yo, don't even check your work. Just go through there. Just let them know. We just making a statement. We ain't even out to, if anybody get hurt, they get hurt. But it's nothing more than just to let them know. Let them know it ain't sweet out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know things is under new management, but we haven't had a conversation, you know? And I don't even know why she did that. I don't know why she did that. Maybe I'm trying to figure that out, because if she's going to be moving to Manhattan, like, what's the reason to terrorize Queens? Who knows? Rock be, you know, she be wilding sometimes. So there's that. Like I said, we get a Juke and Marvin moment. You know what I'm saying? Real tender, real emotionally loaded. You know, Juke is very concerned with Marvin, and Marvin is... it's not a full spiral, because Marvin does have, like, a focus. Like, there is something that's keeping him focused, that's waking him up every morning. He wants to find Unique because he wants to get revenge. You know what I'm saying? So I can't say it's just a full-on spiral where he's just out of control. He's just wilding the fuck out, right? So Jukebox is concerned, and... they had that moment, you know, Jukebox at the house watching, hanging with Mr. Cooper. Marvin come in. He don't even speak to her. He go grab a bottle, pours himself a drink. You know what I mean? Jumping right into coping. And Juke turned the TV off, and she's like, yo, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, are you all right? He's like, nah. Again, that's what I appreciate about Marvin. He going to be honest. He ain't going to be like, nah, I'm cool. I'm chilling. You know what I mean? I ain't nothing. Nah, I'm shit fucked up. Said, Lou? Yeah, Lou, you Rock, Kanan, the whole shit, everything. Like, it's all bad. You know, I'm just trying to make heads and tails of this whole shit. You know, and then Juke is like, yo, why don't we just leave Southside? He's like, what? He felt like, kind of like Unique. Like, listen, man, I'm born here, I'm going to die here. I ain't leaving. You could leave. Yo, go ahead and leave. You got it. She's like, I would never leave you. I just need to be close to you. I got to be by your side and worried about you and, you know, all of that. And, you know what I'm saying? She's like, I need my father. And then Marvin is like, you know, how did I not fuck you up? You know what I'm saying? You're such a phenomenal person. And I'm bugging, and I can't believe that I didn't fuck you up. I fuck up everything else. It was a real tender moment. You know, they do that. They do that. What else do we have? I know that Snaps and Pop, they still don't believe that Unique is gone. They still kind of on, you know, because last time he was gone for a minute. They said he played dead for 6 months and he popped back up. You know what I'm saying? They looking at him like, you never know. He's kind of like looking at the playing field, and based on leverage, he's like, well, maybe he made an educated and informed decision and bowed out, you know, but you can never tell. So there's that. Garcia pulls up to Jukebox, says, listen, I'll take you up on it, but if we do this, there's no turning back, you know, and he grab her before she break out, like, to, like, really reiterate, now, this shit is serious. If you fuck me, I'm going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? So this shit got to work. And at this point, I'm like, did you even know what she offering him, you know, a job or offering to put him on payroll, but where's she getting the money? She ain't got that power. And I think that's probably why she was like to Marvin, like, yo, let's get up out of Southside, because I might have bitten off more than I could chew. You know what I'm saying? Now I got Garcia on payroll, and I ain't got nothing coming in. We'll see how that plays out. So anyway, after Marvin and Jukebox have this conversation, she's like, well, I just want to be by your side. I want to work with you. He's like, I don't want you to get in the game. She's like, well, I don't care what you want. You know what I'm saying? It's what I need and whatever, whatever. And he's like, I bet. I got something for you. So brings her to Cafe Vu. She winds up being the quote-unquote bartender who's just kind of going to watch the spot, make sure everything is cool, make sure that the drinkers get a nice little drink. They don't get rowdy. They got a, I forget my man, but they got like a bodyguard, henchman cat off to the side who's going to be distributing the work to the escorts. But the escorts are going to come in and they're going to, you know, say what up to Juke, get the pick up packages and go and move and come back, pay Juke, and you know, and then if anything get crazy, they got my man on deck. But there's also, you know, there's a burner right underneath the counter. Juke excited, you know, don't hesitate, you know, I won't, you know what I'm saying. Meanwhile, she got on a Rap Jam concert tee. Guess it's a Rap Jam tour. Ice Cube, Two Live Crew, Yo-Yo, you know, sound like a cool little tour. I remember when I was in college, Yo-Yo spazzed on me. She spazzed on me one time. I was in college. She came and she was doing, I guess, a college tour. She was just out on the strip. This at Clark Atlanta. She was on the strip. I was a freshman. And she out, like, just talking to the people. And I don't know what made me say. I was like, yo, yeah, your eyes really green? That's your real eyes? And she was like, yeah, nigga. I was like, oh, all right. I don't know why the fuck I asked that shit. I think I just wanted to say something to Yo-Yo. I didn't know what to say. I was a young buck. You know what I'm saying? This is a grown-ass one. I'm like, yo, your eyes really green? Yeah, nigga. I was like, all right, man, you got it. You got it. That shit was embarrassing, low-key. Fucking Yo-Yo. Anyway, shout out to Yo-Yo. Don't try to play me out. Don't try to play me out. That's what she said, really. Like, nigga, don't you try to play me out, nigga. I don't give a fuck if you're trying to get an education. We already saluted London Brown for rocking out on as Marvin. Question. So is Juke, so Tiana comes through. That's the courier we see. We see, you know, she coming through. Tiana's very much about her business. Let me get this. Let me make this drop off. I'm going to come back. Let me give you your money. You know what I mean? Juke and Juke trying to send her off on another thing. She says, nah. I got a trick. I gotta go. I can't be late. So she move. But I'm curious if Juke and Tiana, they gonna jump off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know Juke got a little weakness, kind of like Rue. Got a little sweet tooth. You know what I'm saying? When it come to the ladies. You know what I mean? So who knows? But anyway, we see Tiana and Juke that. Shout out to the set designer, like the old school McDonald's cup, amongst the other shit. It just looks official. Like, it just looks so authentic with the old school, just the little touches. But Rock and Marvin have a good sit down where, you know, Marvin's asking Rock, does she believe in God? They talk about that. They talk about, you know, searching and faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, Marvin is really trying to wrap his mind around all this, get a handle on all this. Like, what is this all for? You know what I mean? And I don't know if he's ever going to find that answer, but the pursuit, he's still in pursuit, you know, having these conversations with these people and, like, really, he's on a journey, I guess. And something's going to, I feel like it's going to be bad. I feel like it's going to be bad. I feel like they're laying a whole lot of track for this shit, for this, like, you know, for the Marvin shit, you know, like, we'll see. We will see. And then the last scene, again, Tiana was, they was trying to get her to make another delivery. She had to run and go turn a trick. So she pulls up, looks like she pulls up at a hotel to go meet with a John, right? And turns out that John is Kanan. And then the funny shit is she pull up and the room number is 304. I thought that was kind of slick. You know what I mean? I'm sure that was deliberate. But yeah, it was a vibe. It was a vibe. We'll see what's going on with Kanan, see how he's going to, is he going to use or bogart Tiana to kind of get a, you know, to infiltrate their business or create her as a mole or whatever. We know Tiana's about money. You know what I mean? And if he got money, she's up for the highest bidder. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. That's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see more of her. But overall, I enjoyed this episode. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It was a lot of action. Not a lot of action, but a lot of plot, a lot of story, a lot of things moved forward, a lot of things was introduced. And we'll see. We'll see. But I'm enjoying that. But anyway, listen. September 20th, Arlington Draft House. Tickets are on sale now. DamianLemon.com. Go there. ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. Tickets are on sale. If you're in that area, if you know people in that area, let them know. Because it's going to be one of them. It's going to be one of them. I'm very excited about it. I want to sell that bitch out. That is the intention. I'm just letting y'all know. That's what it is. I'm going to be beating y'all in the head all the way till September. Them tickets is on sale until they not. I'm glad y'all tuned in. Never take that for granted. I appreciate y'all. I respect y'all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for, you know, being with us. You know what I mean? And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. Or even an enemy to get in the conversation. I'm out.
Conversation.